Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio.
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by the Olana Partnership, presenting Art and Landscape at Olana, an afternoon conversation and celebration on Saturday, June 14th at 4 p.m. The event brings together artists, architects, and environmental stewards to explore how Frederick Church's Olana inspired their practice. Advanced registration required. Details at olana.org/art and landscape.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Kimberly Aldeo of Hudson Valley, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The views expressed by on-air volunteer hosts do not reflect the views of Wave Farm or WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-622-2598 to either call.
Sitting there saying, you know that it is illegal to say,
oh,
I am going to,
yes, do things to the president.
Right.
Yes, that is absolutely illegal to say.
Yes, and he said, I can say it now because I'm telling you it's illegal to say,
oh, I'm performing a public service by letting you know what you shouldn't be saying. And that is why we're here on the Thingularity radio program, broadcasting live from the palatial administrative offices of the Catskill Makers Syndicate. How is everybody doing this wonderful Thursday?
Pizza party.
Great.
We're in the treehouse. We're having a pizza party. And I hope you guys can smell it. It's wonderful.
And sorry to Phil. Oh, sorry to Phil for the inability to connect, but, you know.
We're trying, but it just, the bits didn't bite. No, they said math doesn't math, so whatever. Sorry, bud, next time we'll have our main sound guy here, and we will beat him into compliance. So, Greg, to my left, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Great to be here, always.
Mac, how are you?
Pretty good. This is kind of the last radio show in IRL, in real life, for me, so.
We will be launching them into space, and they will be secretly working against Elon Musk's efforts.
Yes.
Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good to have you this time.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here this time.
Are you going to participate? Okay, Cody, how you doing?
I'll make sure you remove the purple.
Sure. Number eight.
Number five?
Wait, number
now
nine?
We, number five?
Now we lose all audio.
Number nine.
Yeah.
Not that button. Not that button.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because you guys don't want me in charge of that. I'll send you to, like, Venus or something on accident. I'll do it in Imperial, and then they'll be expecting metric, and then that's how we get probes dead on Mars. Oh, yeah, real balmy. Like, strip you to the bone balmy. I think, since we're talking about pizza, Neil deGrasse Tyson once calculated that if you placed a raw pizza outside on the surface of Venus, it will take about 15 seconds to cook.
To vaporize or to cook?
To cook. Then nice. It starts to vaporize. Like, it'll be just right at about 15 seconds.
So.
And then you got about two to eat it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, what I'm hearing is there's a window.
Yes, there's a way.
There's a window.
There's a chance for a human to eat pizza on Venus in the raw atmosphere before they vaporize.
Yeah, well, in a vacuum. Not a vacuum in the space sense, but. Vacuum.
As long as you're like introduced to the pressure from a vessel of equal pressure, you're fine. The pressure won't kill you. The heat and the toxic like sulfur gases will eat you away.
That was something that Cody brought up to me. Is something that kind of grinds his gears a bit. Is during sci-fi movies and shows,
expand.
They never really take into account the difference in. The atmosphere, the gravity, like, people just kind of... What? Weren't you telling me about that? How, That they don't, like... I mean, not everything, but, like, a lot of places... Give me that mic.
Sure. I really should have set myself up for this. What
yeah.
grinds my gears is that when they get spaced, quote-unquote, you know,
right.
thrown out of an airlock,
right.
they instantly freeze. That's not what happens. Yeah, first, the liquid boil from your eyes and your tongue. Your lungs pop because that's just what happens.
Could I ask how we know this?
How do we know this?
Past experience?
Physics? Yeah, right, past experience. Like
what I mean is the CIA has conducted experiments.
Oh,
I'm sure.
I don't know.
Are there any references?
I don't know, but I do know that if your saliva and like your tears that are on your eyeballs get exposed to a vacuum pressure environment, that puts it way below the boiling point of water. So it'll just boil off. I don't know that it would be painful, though. Like, because when you talk about boiling, you think, oh, it's going to be 212 Celsius. It's not. It's the same temperature. Yeah. You'll be very dry. Yeah.
Pop rocks in your eyes? Like,
yeah, yeah. Pop rocks in your eyes. But another thing that grinds my gears is people freeze instantly. People don't freeze instantly in space.
Yes.
You just freeze slowly. As much heat as your body can throw off at the rate that thermodynamics allows, you will not freeze instantly. You will freeze very slowly.
You'd freeze dry.
Yeah, right. Here, I'll put it back to you, Joe.
Greg is actually on the money because you don't just freeze because half of you freezes. The half of you that's facing away from the sun will totally bleed off all of its infrared heat and freeze, but the side of you that's facing the sun will cook. You will... Oh, okay, so if we get someone to spin evenly, they could maintain an even body temperature.
Isn't that how the astronauts do that?
No, astronauts have full environmental systems into their suits so that any part of them can be exposed to the sun for any amount of time, and they're okay. But we're basically trying to figure out how to prolong the life of a human free-floating in space. You know, torture them a little longer. I mean, if in space you're not going to want to stay alive longer, but, you know, if we wanted to do it, we could. Yeah, shock's going to kick in. But, I mean, if you exited the craft with a full lung of air, your chest will probably bust a little. If you breathed out completely, you might have a chance of surviving, like, minute or two.
Wouldn't you get, like, the bends?
Yeah, absolutely. Instantly.
Dims to breaks, not to bends.
Yeah, if somebody gets you, they're going to have to instantly really pressurize your ass. I mean, no. They're only going to have to bring you right back down to room temperature pressure. Because that's what...
We all agree that it equals death.
It's a ticking clock. People have survived horrible cases of the bends. They've been brought to the surface and shoved into hyperbaric chambers, repressurized, and sometimes they die, but sometimes they make it. So that's the kind of chances you're taking. Like, let's say you're in a spacecraft that's failing and you need to bust yourself out and take your can of hairspray and fly on over to another spacecraft. You have a chance. Your eyes will be boiling the entire time. Don't plan on seeing anything. So plan your trajectory, do the math, press that button, and pray if you have a god.
Fair enough.
Because that's the only thing up there that's going to help you.
Probably need a lot of hairspray.
No.
So I guess the human body doesn't fare too well in space. What if we were to be able to create a silicon-based life form that could contain our consciousness and send it out into space?
Now, do you mean a silicone life form like technology-based, like circuitry and chipsets, or do you mean silicone as in silicone taking the place of carbon in the life cycle?
Well, right now, silicon-based life forms are sort of coming to life in the form of AI, so who knows where that'll take us, but what if we were to put ourselves on a chip and send it into space?
I know where it's headed. I've seen that Black Bear episode, new season that just came out.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, you're literally talking about what we will end up doing anyway, because it will be just easier to make a technological pod that survives space better than a human. Humans have insane requirements for life support. It's ridiculous up in space.
Yeah.
We need pressure. We need heat. We need constant, like, humidity removal. We need waste removal. Do you know how hard it is to poo in space? It's nuts. I mean, vacuums are involved. Crazy, like... But if you could just download a personality onto a chip and send it out there, but then you're asking the question, is the technology going on the trip when I should be going on the trip, as opposed to, do I want to go on a vacation to Italy, or do I just want to mail my cell phone to Italy, have someone walk around with it, and then send it back to me so I can check out the data?
To be fair, most people just want the Instagram pictures.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Sadly, I think... Yeah, Ben, we might end up being the kind of people that just send the probe out. But if the probe contains an actual consciousness, then what does that mean? Is that the new us? Are we actually venturing out into the stars? And how hardened is that technology? Because bit flips happen from cosmic rays, and that's an entire part of your personality that could be flipped. You literally send out a Jane Goodall, and Hal comes back.
Well, that's really the question. It's sort of more of a philosophical question. Is your personality or consciousness localized in the body? And if so, can it be transferred to a silicon-based?
Yes, and yes.
Well, I wish we had better version control.
No. I mean...
In case I'm really bad, I could just revert back
just
to
undo.
The...
Just undo.
Okay, version control on generational genetic changes is called eugenics.
I think it was like personality experiences, right? Like, oh, that was bad.
Like, oh, I wish I never went to Italy. In your case, yeah.
But
you just undo experience.
Okay, well, I'm sure a lot of us would delete certain memories if we could, and that might not even be a good thing.
Is that Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? What?
Aren't you kind of doomed to repeat it, though? You're like, oh, I should get in that car with the guy that gave me candy.
But you don't know it. You're not supposed to repeat
point,
it, so it feels like a new lesson every time.
But at that point, you know, the train already left the
Fair
station.
Enough.
You know? If we're going to go through... If we're looking at it without considering that time has already passed, then fine. But if we're going to relive those same moments where you're making a decision based off of your previous decision-making that would be intact, then...
Yeah, like it kind of depends on how far back your like version control is.
Those same inputs, you're going to make the same choices then. If you do revert yourself.
Well, okay, let's say for the candy in the car situation, let's say that you were offered that a bunch of times when you were a kid, or you had a sit-down conversation with your parents, if you were lucky, where they said don't, you know, you, like, we have a magic code, like a code word to use if our friends
so that
ever,
your children don't get kidnapped by strangers in a car. Okay.
But if you, let's say, erase and you revert to your personality that didn't have that conversation, like, I don't know that you would make the same decision based on that.
If the kid is traumatized by the thought of burning their hand on the stove and you remove the thought, they keep going back to burn themselves on the stove.
Right.
In other words, if you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. And if you do learn history, you're doomed to watch others repeat it.
Or you can learn from others' mistakes.
I tried to do that. It's best thing you can do, but it is hard as a human.
Yeah, nothing keeps a kid's hand away from a stove like them getting either burned by it or another external quick, I mean, I don't want to say hit, but
less
like
intense pain.
Those are instances where it could be beneficial to hit your kid. Like that one smack, if they're, so that way they're not burning their hands, but they still get the shock of like a, oh.
I don't know
how to
do that.
But that's as close as you can get for like learning from other people anyway. Because it's still like,
I'd rather not slap their hand, but I'd rather, you know, use a super soaker filled with ice water.
Nice.
I bet you that's going to shock their system pretty good. No!
That's its own kind of burn.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, and then they're going to want to go to the stove even more to cancel that out. I'd be like, oh, now I'm cold.
Yeah, right. Hold it over the fire.
Yeah, that's how they get nerve damage.
I want to say that a lot of people experience non-localized consciousness every night. Right, Greg?
Define.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Define consciousness. This is called the universe. I'm sorry, my mouth is full.
Yep.
Yeah. Greg's
we're having a pizza party in
Chicago.
Greg deserves every bit of everyone's ire because he shouldn't be eating on the radio.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But you can win every argument with that simple thing. Define your terms. Because you can't define consciousness. Can't define non-localized. So there.
I bet you I can.
So there.
Yeah.
I bet you I can define all of that if I needed to. I'm a very black and white kind of person. Consciousness is just a program running inside a biological computer inside a skull. There is nothing external happening other than stimuli.
That's very materialistic of you.
Yes, I don't believe in anything like, you know, a soul. I believe in
me, computer, and that's it.
Yeah. I believe in electronic signals running through your body. I believe all your neurons working together to form memory banks of consciousness, not too dissimilar from the way we're starting to see LLMs work. I mean, you're a computer. And we've watched all the components. Like, you could take a human body and rip it to pieces, and it's amazing how many of those pieces can come out and be displayed while the body still functions.
So, one thing I will say, and this is me agreeing with you, but also disagreeing with you in that agreement.
Okay.
Cool. And then this is only something I've learned from my acupuncturist, so I can't really speak on this as like a subject matter expert of traditional Chinese medicine. But in traditional Chinese medicine, the brain is kind of perceived as a computer. And that's, I think you're kind of exactly where they are in that. Like, the brain's important, but its function is mostly
it's a process.
Calculations.
Yeah.
But where they find that, like, the soul kind of lives in the heart, you know? And that's, I mean, then there are different areas where, like, there's more importance, there's more, like, but your soul, I think they say, like, lives in your heart. So.
Yes. I've also watched people attempt to like technologically visualize chi, and again, it's electron flow, it's energy flow inside your body. It's not necessarily I don't want to say soul. That's for other people to say, but
right.
Your consciousness definitely exists as a set of neurological impulses, one way or the other.
Right.
But you know, you get right down to it, an electron. Nobody could define what an electron is. The closest definition of an electron is something like a bathtub drain, which is is like a charge, but there's no core thing of matter that you could touch. So, you know, when you zoom in close, there's nothing that you can actually describe.
Electrons have mass. They can be detected.
What's mass?
Mass is the attraction to another body gravitationally.
So you're defining it based on observed behavior.
That would be weight.
Huh. No. Yes. Mass is a static value for an object. It's like how much mass it contains. Like how many moles you contain is your mass. Like if you want to mathematically lay it out. But weight is how much that mass is attracted to another gravitational body and is affected by the size of that gravitational body. Mass is unaffected by any of these things. Your mass is your mass no matter what.
I think it was Carl Sagan, maybe, or it was somebody else who said that, like, the closer they look into cosmos, or, like, the closer they look at things into, like, a deep, like, a more, like, a higher quality telescope or microscope, if you will, like, the closer you look at it, the closer that they're looking into God. And I think it was Carl Sagan, because I remember reading that and thinking, really? Like, that was really interesting, you know, it was just an interesting quote, but...
He
was an atheist.
Yes, exactly. That's why I was like,
The entire concept of God isn't even isn't even scientifically implausible. That's, from my perspective, that's just simulation theory. If another being created this entire universe, I guess we would define that as a god. And I mean, some people like to think of that as an alien that created a simulation, but you're just using words.
Right.
A being created an entire universe of other beings. I do that every day when I turn on a video game on my computer. Anybody ever watch the show Reboot? There's like a whole thing of like little individual personalities, little AIs doing their little thing. Of course, our simulations are very gross and base, but who's to say that like we're not in a super, super, super computer?
Or in the marbles game at the end of Men in Black?
Yes.
Marbles game.
Yeah, where they zoom out all the way, and it's like the entire galaxy is like a marble, and these giant aliens are playing marbles.
The galaxy is just one of them.
Yeah.
Bounce them off each other.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and things scale out, so you don't really know, are we a component of something greater? I mean, we always have we could tell that we're part of giant clusters in our universe, and we can see where the clusters of galaxies are moving and stuff like that. Some people like to think that that could be like the underpinning structure of a larger structure. And that's like looking at a solar system, like maybe this is an atom in somebody else's body. No, it's not.
We do have a horizon beyond which we can't seem to penetrate in terms of observation.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that ball of observation will forever shrink. By comparison to the rest of the universe, everything else will be escaping that sphere of our possible detection more and more. So as we continue into the future, the number of galaxies, the number of stars we see in the sky will diminish. One day, if we survive long enough, the sky will be black.
If the speed of light is a constant.
Correct. Which can be changed. And if speed of light somehow speeds up, yes, you could then maintain visual contact with other galaxies.
Isn't there a big controversy about how... I wish I knew what constant it was, but there was a constant that was at a time not constant in the history of the universe.
Speed of light. That's kind of what they're thinking.
Was it the speed of light?
That's more.
Was
that's, it that's,
that the rate of nuclear decay? Was it the rate of alpha decay?
Let's put it this way. All of those particles travel at the speed of light when they're released, or at least they try to. So if the speed of light is being modified and you have a particle traveling at the speed of light, all of that's going to be all of it gets affected. It's like turning down the temperature in the room. The entire room is going to get colder. Everything's going to move slower.
Yeah.
Turn up the temperature. Everything's going to move faster, but by comparison to only what it did beforehand, which is the weird symmetry.
Well, if the things that we consider constant aren't actually constant, what can we really say that we know?
Math.
Yeah, we have math, but math just represents our observations of actual physical phenomena that we're observing. This is math is just a representation.
Uh,
And yes, our representations can be internally true. Well, and they can be internally consistent. However, do those representations map one-to-one with the universe?
Yes, because everything can be described mathematically, and to the point where if you get down to the realm of quantum mechanics, everything ends up being math. Everything becomes a probability. Like, your existence is a probability, not a certainty.
Everything that we've been able to explain up until this point can be explained by math.
Is math a construct by humans, or does it exist outside of humans?
It's a tool we discovered. Like fire. Fire can exist without us. Math can exist without us. But once we discovered it, we learned to use it.
Wow, so this show's become like debate with an atheist.
An alien evolves on another planet, they will have math as well. What base are they going to use? How they figure out their equations and use language to describe it, that will be different. But 1 + 1 will still be 2 on their planet. In another universe,
base
it
10.
Might... In base 10.
Right.
On another universe,
sorry,
or possibly inside of a black hole, 1 + 1 could add up to 3. But we can't get there, so we don't know how that world would work.
That was when I was studying for a while. I was a double major in pure math and physics because I really loved my life, I guess.
Dude, that's all. No, don't. Those things can be fun.
They were very fun, but then it got a lot. So I was like, all right, let me drop one and still try to crawl out of this alive. But one of my professors in my pure math class, he like just wrote on the board, like 1 + 1 = ? And he's like, we know that this means 2, right? But, you know, with defining your terms, like what is 1? You know, and like what, like... And it kind of gets you to think, like, and kind of understand that while math kind of is a tool used to explain what is around us, it still kind of is just our feeble minds trying to make sense of what's happening around us.
Does anybody understand the Gödel theorem that any collection of axioms is inherently contradictory?
I literally listened to the PBS Spacetime on this 2 weeks ago, and I didn't absorb it.
You didn't absorb it? Oh, no. Go back and listen to it again. You might find some value in it.
I do. I rewatch things until stuff starts to stick. But
I don't know that it's inherently contradictory.
That work for you?
Huh?
What?
This is the first time I'm hearing it.
It's Gödel's incompleteness theorem. I really shouldn't be the one speaking about it, but I am. Basically saying that for any system of math, it contains a set of axioms, but you'll never find the set of axioms capable of completely describing all the possibilities of mathematics.
Oh, basically barring us from finding a unified field theory?
I guess as a downstream effect, yeah. As a downstream effect, that would be one of those things where math can't completely describe everything that is mathematically possible.
Someone's taking a dump on that by making gravity becomes quantumly acceptable when you cause it to be random. If gravity works on a randomness scale, then somehow it works with quantum major.
I don't know.
Scale.
I don't know, man.
It was weird. Again, I didn't get that. I have to. I got to do a bunch of drugs to get that one to absorb.
You just haven't reached that level of high yet.
That's right. I'm not
Fair
that
enough.
Guy in Animal House sitting there in the bathroom with this professor going, if that atom is in my hand is a little solar system, well, then maybe our solar system is a... Yeah, that's all nonsense. But what isn't nonsense is you listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
That was masterful.
Yeah.
I'm a little practiced at this point.
Right on the half-hour mark.
Wow.
This is like Mutual of Omaha. You need insurance, too.
Joe missed his calling.
Well, no, he didn't miss it. That's the point.
Okay.
Oh, I'm because I'm here, I'm talking, I'm on the radio. You're listening to my voice. I guess I've made it.
Just to piggyback on what you were saying, Cody, that, you know, a lot of these mathematical discoveries, if you will, are related to discoveries in art or science or politics. And after both world wars, there were these tremendous breakthroughs in mathematics and physics. You know, relativity.
Murder's a motivator.
I'm talking about right after World War One, that era, early 20th century, relativity, polyphonic music, cubism in art, all sort of were describing a higher dimensional reality. Space-time is four dimensions. And likewise, after World War II, suddenly we get the Gödel theorem, the Bell theorem, which I'm not going to even try to describe, but it kind of like predicted the limitations of mathematics, whatever that means.
I wish Albert was here. He could explain it.
But I got, actually, not Albert. Who is it? Penrose.
Oh, Roger Penrose.
Roger Penrose. Yeah. What?
Penrose, I think, understood Albert's ideas better than he did.
What
so
a
I'd
genius.
Want him to get drunk and explain it to me.
Yeah.
Does he still alive?
No,
he just died.
Oh, wow.
And what an amazing man, because not only mathematics, but also he discovered Penrose tiling, which is really intriguing. He was the first one to discover tiling with pentagons. And it was discovered that in early Islamic art, like in the Hagia Sophia in
Istanbul,
thank you, early Arabic mathematicians and architects had figured out essentially Penrose tiling.
Well, Penrose tiling, that involves the usage of, if I recall, another polygon in order to make the pentagons fit together?
No, it's all pentagons, and somebody else talk for a minute. I'm going to try to...
pentagons all the way down like a soccer ball.
just
I'm
talk
sorry,
amongst yourselves.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah.
Would understand Penrose tiling, yes. We're talking about Tom Ditto,
yeah.
Who we honored in the previous program, who is not with us anymore.
No, but he really enjoyed Penrose's writings on consciousness, because Penrose had the idea that the consciousness was a non-local quantity.
Yeah, because you're what, quantumly entangled to another alien somewhere else?
I don't know about an alien, but I can't even claim to understand this sort of stuff, but it's quite fascinating. It's quite a fascinating read.
All right, so if the tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe a black hole hears it somewhere across the universe.
Define tree.
Yeah.
What are your parameters?
I don't know why I never really understood that argument, and I never really gave it much thought, you know, if a tree falls in a forest. Because, I mean, I don't know that I understand.
It's not a sound until it reaches a living creature's cochlea and is processed into a data stream. Until then, it is simply a special type of pressure wave traveling through a physical medium, the air. It could be the water, but in our case, it's atmosphere.
But it's still sound, is it not?
Yeah.
Just because you're not having... Just because the...
No. It is a pressure wave. It is a sound once it's interpreted by a conscious being. Until then, it is just a pressure wave.
Well, okay, what is consciousness? I mean, then you can go into birds in a forest hearing it.
Consciousness is a program that can basically assess itself.
Consciousness.exe.
Crashed. Ran out of resources.
No, I mean, like, the experience. The being experiencing a sound, like, that experience of the sound might not exist if there's nothing present that could process.
you just said potential.
I did.
Potential for sound isn't sound. Potential for movement isn't movement. Potential energy isn't kinetic energy.
Well, it's not the potential of sound. It's the potential of hearing that sound.
Well, what's a sound?
Yeah.
Can we define a sound?
I mean...
Can we define it as the experience of hearing?
We're going back to what are our terms?
Yeah, what are your terms?
What are your terms?
Yeah. I am so sorry I brought that up.
Jeez, man.
Bet you are. We can go in circles.
Now, I got you. What's the sound of one hand clapping?
I thought it was extremely cut and dry. I thought, you know, like, it's just... It's waves, you know? But whether... I didn't think it mattered.
Or is it particles?
There. Well, I feel like where you're placing the importance is on the person hearing it. And I think that's the full quote is if there's no one around to hear it, it doesn't make a sound. It's not a... Like... And I guess I'll leave it for the after show, really. But I kind of understood sound as existing whether someone could hear it or not.
Well... The really important thing to know is if you want to listen to the after show, head on over to WGXE.org, click on listen, and you'll be able to see tabs pop up with all the different streams WGXE has. Singularity is near the bottom. Click play, and you'll be able to hear us keep going after the top of the hour, which is when we go FCC free. Now, what were you just saying? I'm sorry.
That was good. I don't know.
I have a question for you. Do you think light exists without the retinas to see it? Light is just a wave moving through a medium.
No. Light's a particle. It's a photon.
Really? You're going to go there?
It's also...
You're going to go there? Do we need to do a double slit experiment right here, right now?
No. You know what's better than the double...
Laser in the basement, man.
No. You know what's better than the double slit experiment? The infinite split experiment.
The infinite splits?
Infinite slit experiment. If you got two... If basically you fire one electron at two slits, and it as a wave function has to basically go through both of them to figure out which is the best path that it actually ends up going through,
okay.
Now you add two or three more slots. It has to mathematically go through every slot to figure out its trajectory. Infinite slots, which is the world we live in, means it takes an infinite path to figure out its way to get there, every photon.
But then it never gets there, right?
No, it gets there.
Are we back to Zeno's paradox?
It starts, we have the start and we have the end point. And in between those two things, that electron basically takes every infinite path to get there. But we can only detect the most efficient one.
Have you ever heard of the term superluminal superposition?
Yes.
I have.
Don't ask me to define it, though.
Well, it's... it's kind of hard to put into words, but a metaphor for that would be that a photon goes through one of the slits and is able to communicate back at the other photons superluminally, faster than the speed of light, that yes, it's okay to go through there. And this this is an experiment that's been proven with polarizing filters.
Yep.
If you have two cross-polar filters, it shuts out all the light. If you introduce a third polarizing filter in between those two at a 45-degree angle, all the light can go through. How is that even possible?
The reason that's possible is because light is quantum and will snap to an individual state. If it runs through one polarized filter and it's at 90-degree angle to the other polarized filter, it will be fully canceled out. If you introduce So if you have two filters, light will not pass through both filters. You add the third filter in between them and cock it at a 45-degree angle. The light passing through the first filter will snap to its position quantumly as being vertically oriented. As it hits the second filter that's at an angle, it will snap to at a 50% rate. One way, half will go one way, half will go the other, and half of them that resolve as now being at an angle pass through the 45-degree angle. When they hit the third filter, half of those make it through again. So by adding a filter, you adjust them so that they can make it through the other filters.
If you think of a polarizing filter as like a picket fence,
yep,
that would be difficult for light traveling at the speed of light.
But that's because the particles could only ever be oriented vertically where they pass through the fence, or they're oriented horizontally where they do not pass through the fence. You have one or the other with literally a 50-50 chance of what's going to happen. And once you pass through one, If you hit another fence, that's off at a side. You are forced to redetermine your actual physical presence in the universe. And those atoms then say, okay, now I'm like this because I'm being forced to tell you what I am. But until they're questioned, they exist purely as probability.
It makes sense, but that is the explanation given, that it's a quantum effect of light, the polarizing filter experiment.
And that's how a lot of quantum experiments that a lot of like these crazy theories are based on come off of stuff like that. It could be the polarization of the atom. It could be its magnetic attraction. They call it spin, which is the dumbest freaking word for it, because like it can be affected by magnets and other things and electrical charges. So why would it be a spin? How about fine? So yeah,
the spin on a photon,
on whatever photon, electron, atom, molecule. They all have this property.
Then if you have an electron that has, if you encounter something that's like an electron with an opposite spin to the usual electrons that you see in the everyday world, what you have is a positron.
That's right. And what happens when they hit?
They annihilate.
And what is made?
I have no idea. A bunch of stuff. Radiation.
Tons of energy.
Yeah, energy.
That's right.
Matter is converted to energy.
E equals mc squared, well, which isn't real. E equals mc squared is not an equation.
That's as much as I know about spin.
That's it.
Do they have a fancy name for
that's where
protons?
Bell's theorem starts to come in. What?
Do they have fancy names for protons that have the opposite spin, or is that just the antiproton?
Antiproton.
Blame.
Oh, what?
Positron, electron, nice.
Well, we've made positrons. I don't know if we've made anti-atoms.
How do you contain a positron?
You don't. You don't. You just create it, and you watch it like, and then you watch it like.
Can't you? Wait, no. They
decompose.
Capture positrons temporarily because they have the same charge, right? So they'll respond to magnetic fields.
Yeah.
So you can contain them magnetically for.
Oh, there's literally there are radioactive materials. You could take a chunk of metal that's radioactive of a certain type, put it in a smoke chamber, and watch it just produce antimatter.
Yeah.
And that's what a positron is. So we have things. This is a natural phenomenon we can just detect. We just happen to have a universe that decided a coin flip, and we're going to have mostly matter, not antimatter. We don't know why. We just landed on matter, which is great because if things were even, there wouldn't be anything. It'd just be floating energy.
Well, unless it was spatially separated to some degree.
Which could be true. For all we know, there are galaxies that are antimatter, and that would explain the lopsidedness, but we don't know how to detect that because it acts too much like normal matter. Until it meets.
Yeah, until we are able to interact with it.
Yep, this could be the next source of energy that could save our economy.
Yeah.
If we can get antimatter here. I mean,
right now
we have to make it in really expensive ways.
Yeah, it'd be so expensive to make it that it's not worth the energy production.
I think about all the quantum leaps we've had in terms of making energy. Like before, electricity was, I wouldn't say discovered, but made usable. And before magnetism was discovered, you know, it was just like magic. And then once it was finally discovered, it revolutionized everything. And the same with radioactivity. And the same with relativity. Now we have GPS, which is based on relativity. All these things were like quantum leaps. And so I keep wondering, what's going to be the next thing? Is it going to be matter, antimatter? Is it going to be negative energy? Nobody knows what it is. We just know that there's more matter out there than is accounted for.
Right.
The best part is, it'll be discovered by an artificial intelligence that will never explain it to us.
I don't know about that, man. I don't have faith in large language models like you do.
Oh, no. Large language model is not an artificial intelligence. It's a talking encyclopedia.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Get the kitty cat away from my pizza.
Give the cat a mic. I think he wants to join us.
Yeah. Like,
he wants to be part of the conversation.
All of you. I'm going to teach you all.
Yes, you guys are hearing a wall in our production.
Oh, he's so cute. He's sniffing the mic. Aw, he's
ever did here.
Oh, he moved too fast.
Yep, we've been totally distracted by a cat. Sorry, people. But
well, he's the Zen master here.
We're cat lovers.
Yeah.
All of us.
We all love animals here. And
he says they don't need to discuss all this stuff.
No. Silly humans.
Those who think do not understand.
Yeah,
who speak do not know.
The cat looks at
those
us like...
Those who know do not speak.
The cat sees us as the lower beings. We serve it.
That's right.
And it knows.
That's right, the kitty cats know about it. Alright. Tech news. I don't know, let's just do tech news.
The drones!
Which ones?
The ones in Ukraine! Sorry, the ones in, Russia.
Ukraine?
The ones that Ukraine built and put together and put into some container trucks about 18 months ago, and then they shipped on over through several different layers of shell companies, much the same way Israel did with the Biebers, except the Ukrainians purely went after military targets. And these are awesome. And this is a game changer, because I guarantee you right now, any container truck going near a U.S. airbase is being stopped and checked. Because we have a whole new threat now. These container trucks were ordered by the Ukrainians for these Russian drivers to bring them around. They were supposedly had pre-made houses components inside them. They were modular cabins for people. And as they were being delivered, and these trucks the other day got near the air bases, the tops of the containers blew off, and about a 2-foot space containing several dozen $4,000 drones let the drones just take off, and they were controlled by Ukrainian soldiers. They weren't controlled with AI. They were fed back to the Ukrainians using the Russians' 4G network. So every drone had a 4G SIM card in it, and they were like, that's how the Ukrainians piloted them. Right into the AWACS, the one of the two AWACS that Russia still has left. Not to mention those nuclear bombers, those Su-95s they got, which have been used to basically bomb children's hospitals in Ukraine. Yeah, Ukraine took them out. And Russia's going nuts. They have to search all of their trucks now. They have to rethink their entire way of defending their planes. And these planes, by the way, were not left out because Russians are stupid. They were left out because of our nuclear agreements. These are the bombers that Russia would use against us. And just like we have our B-52s sitting out on runways so that they can scan them with a satellite, theirs are out on runways so we can scan them with a satellite. These planes all of a sudden double in numbers or start being hidden, we will assume they are planning a nuclear war against us. So they have to leave them on the tarmac, and that's why they try to protect them with tires, and it don't work.
With tires?
Tires.
Yeah, why are the tires?
The entire... It's not like a layer of physical protection. The Russians place the tires on top of the planes to try to fool an AI that would be targeting the plane. They would throw off the profile. For the same reason, they paint profiles of these planes into the tarmac, just so that, like, a false positive for a drone, but... The Ukrainians were like, no, we'll just have our pilots do it. Thank you. And...
It's kind of like wearing a t-shirt that says I'm a cat. Like, okay, it's not a bomb.
It's sort of a tiring solution.
A tiring solution?
A tired solution.
No.
Entirely. They need to retire it. Come on, let's keep it going.
Well, no, that's where the rubber meets the road. I get it. Where the rubber meets the plane.
Oh, man.
Well, now there's all the memes of, like, Putin sitting at his boardroom, like, covered in tires and stuff. Or he's got the tire hat on. And he's going to do what he normally does whenever they suffer a major embarrassment. He's going to disappear for 2 weeks.
Say that. That's 1 point for human intelligence and dock a point from AI and machine learning.
True. But also, everything that was done here... I guarantee you is being fed into an AI system so that the next drones could just be sent automatically. I mean, that would be, for me, one of the big reasons I wanted the feedback from the 4G network is so we can tally actual kills and we can get data for feeding into the AI better.
Huh.
That's how you do it. You, 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 tr- train the AI on actual footage of things. And, I mean, AI is going to have to be the step next, because you can already see battlefields that look like fields of silk because of all the optical fibers covering the field. And you're talking thousands and thousands. Oh, optical fiber drones. They can't be jammed.
Oh, I've seen
right.
videos of that, like just trails.
Because you have, you can get a few kilometers of optical fiber to a pretty small space.
Yeah.
Just have it spool out.
Yep. And they work. No. They cannot be jammed, and they will make their target.
No. But how is that really any different than like a tow missile that was developed back?
No, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
They literally just went back to their old tech. And now it's funny because if you look at the battlefield, you have to advance through a field now that's just crisscrossed with threads, that each one of those threads probably killed one of your buddies. And then you got to cross. Yeah.
Killer. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where the AI comes in, because then you stop needing the actual threat. You just take the drone and leave it fully autonomous. Say, here's your targets. Go have fun.
Whoa.
And we've had drones killing targets all on their own since the 80s. This is nothing new. It's just now cheap, available, and ubiquitous. And the really scary part is it's just a matter of time till someone uses it on us. And our systems are being weakened every day. Our ability to respond to something like that or detect it is being reduced every day intentionally by our current administration. Everybody out there better have your emergency supplies.
The free market will step in, and we'll all have automated birdshot turrets attached to our homes.
Birdshot turrets? I like that.
Birdshot turrets.
Why do we need turrets on that?
Not turrets, turrets.
That'd be kind of fun, too. Just like a little
turrets.
Turrets.
Well,
just wind it. You don't need to cripple it. Just flick bird turrets at it.
That's for the door-to-door salesman.
Yeah, but think of it. It's non-lethal, right? It's just as effective.
Yeah.
It deters the human ones and the
Did you say deterred?
You did.
Did I say deterred or deter? But I like deterred better.
That's the one you said. We know it.
Yeah.
The name of the device is called deterred.
It's
deterred.
All about the emphasis on the syllable.
Just like hit that little doorbell, just hit you with it.
DoorDash, thump.
Oops, sorry.
I don't know. That's a lot better than being shot in the back by an insane highway superintendent.
I would agree. I'd rather get hit with bird turd.
Yep, I'm with you.
Then you got a story.
A fun story you can tell.
That's just true.
It's fun.
You live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
You do.
Although you're covered in bird doo-doo.
For another bit of happy news, Apple just settled for $95 million, I think it was, because a whistleblower who was a contractor for going through data that was from Siri, Apple's Siri division, for probably quality assurance purposes.
He air quoted that one.
Yeah, air quotes, quality assurance. This whistleblower disclosed, I can't remember the gender, but it doesn't matter. They disclosed that Siri oftentimes has false activations, and then Apple ends up getting recordings of adult intercourse, arguments, and other private conversations, even drug deals.
Yeah.
So, for privacy's sake, you can try to turn off Siri on your Apple devices. But since it's proprietary, you don't really know if it's off.
Some people I know have been... one guy I know says that every time he goes to his girlfriend's house, her iPhone starts recording randomly for some reason. But only when he's there and talking.
Wow.
This is someone you know?
Yeah. Actually told it to me, whenever I go there, that phone starts recording, and it's always at the weirdest, randomest time.
Well, how long has he known his girlfriend?
Huh.
Wow.
It's one of the guys from the crew, so... girlfriend? What's up?
Timu.
You know, there seems to be a lot of
you got a white food
pillow? Pillows. If you're interested, there's an increase in the sale of certain pillows.
Ah, the waifu pillows.
Waifu pillows.
Waifu pillows.
Just give that to him.
Yes, that's
she'll never record you. Unless they...
Unless
it's in the pillow.
Could be in the pillow.
You know how small cameras can be nowadays? Do you know how flexible they can make batteries? Like, I bet you I could put a piezo device inside a pillow so that someone's tossing and turning could literally just power my eavesdropping device.
Well, they could also put recording device into things that are intentionally, like, that get warm. Like, let's say your
is
desk.
It more embarrassing, let me just put it this way, is it more embarrassing to just have the waifu pillow or to be found out what you're doing with the waifu?
Okay.
What's a poop pillow?
If a waifu, or if a man has a waifu pillow,
yes.
Does that make a sound?
Squish.
Okay, so a waifu pillow. I'm going to explain this.
Maybe you could just spare Greg.
It's an anime girl, full body size pillow, but not actually cut out as a woman. It's just a pillow.
It's just a pillow.
But the pillowcase just has, like, an anime girl on it.
Different, yeah.
And, I imagine it's just... It's probably just comfortable, and that's why they choose...
It's very comfortable. Yep. That's why they choose it.
Did somebody delete my picture? I had a picture of one somewhere.
Oh, gosh. Where'd you post it? Telegrams?
Yeah. Oh, no. In the war channel that I keep track of stuff. That is a waifu pillow.
Oh, good. Good God.
It's a long body pillow that has an anime girl printed on top of it.
Love it.
I'm not opposed to it.
We're not hawking products here.
Still. The guy said that an expansion of sales of this item on Temu indicated that some Chinese people are preparing to go to war.
Wow. What?
No, he's like, he's like, because he's a vet, and he's like, not only would I have had these in my division, but I'm finally glad that I'm producing my own show now, and I could write this off as a tax payment. Or like a business deduction.
Wow.
Amazing. Oh, I get it, because the Chinese soldiers, they'll be lonely.
Yeah, they'll be lonely, and they'll need their waifu pillows.
They want a pillow.
And, I mean, it's not going to be like the North Korean soldiers who finally get to leave North Korea, and then a Russian hands them a cell phone, and then they discover life. Like, they become instantly and egregiously addicted to pornography. Because all of a sudden, for the first time in their life, they have access to furry porn. Everything. Like, it blows... I'm sure it blows
their
mind.
I thought the North Koreans were pretty well segregated from the other units.
Nope.
No. Yeah, right. Nope. On the battlefield? Yeah, you're gonna get in a trench with a Russian dude. He's gonna hand you a cell phone. Here you go, man. Here's how we communicate.
And they...
Hey, dude, look at this.
Yeah, right.
Tried to keep them separate, but they wound up being... sort of integrated, but to the point where the Russians wound up tripping over the North Koreans in the Kursk region. That's how much they suck.
And we're about to go over to the after show and be FCC free. So, last words, anybody?
We're going to give it a couple of minutes. So, everybody out there, thank you for listening to the Thingularity Radio program. Head on over to WGXC.org. Hit listen if you want to keep hearing us.
Yeah.
I'm missing amen. I don't know why, that just felt very prayerful.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
Amen.
Every time I watch Reverend Ed Trevors do his little sermon, and he gets done, and he goes, amen. And he always says it so, like, positively and, like, infectiously. I go, amen, brother.
And then you say, define your term.